The most amazing thing about this NBA season, that Zion Williamson has been flying under the radar. How does Zion even fit under a radar? Going at Gobert last night, the sequel for Waiting for Godot. And then also, the Saints might need to get Alvin Kamara a helmet to snowboard in. With this panel, let's go. Who snowboards here? Momo?
Not me.
Cat?
No.
Kalisha? Blackstone?
City girl.
Like nobody.
Water ski.
Don't worry, one second. What? Flat.
Pelicans 129, Jazz 124 last night. Where have you people been on Zion Williamson this year? I haven't even heard his name from you people. Oh, he doesn't shoot threes. We can't talk about it. New Orleans, biggest win of the season after losing 7 of 11. Zion, going into the game, said we're almost there. And there was a lot of there last night. Momo? Are the Pelicans almost there? And what was your takeaway from the win over Utah?
Man, I mean, look, you know what I just saw right there, Tone? I saw about 5 business decisions as he's going to the rim. Even Gobert, okay? Nope, go on through, Zion. Yeah, I'm not touching that. This guy is incredible going to the rim, and he still doesn't get enough foul calls, right? I mean, he's a little like Shaq in the sense that he can get fouled on every play, and it's just a matter of how many they call. I don't think the Pelicans are almost there in that, they had to build up a huge lead. They almost blew it. This has been the standard for them all year, where it's just a matter of how big a lead can they build up, right? Yeah. And can they hold on to it? But I'm seeing signs, right, that he has found his way in this league. He looks like he's in great shape. And Lonzo Ball, if you haven't been paying attention, getting pretty accurate from three. Mm-hmm. Getting pretty accurate. Looking like an option out there now.
TC, how close are the Pelicans to being there? What do you see from Zion specifically?
They're getting there. I think they are close. And I think the key with Zion is what you said. He doesn't shoot threes. He gets the ball 15 feet from the basket, and the opponent's going, well, is he going to throw it to Ball over there? Oh, no, he's coming at the basket. Nobody does that anymore. And he scores. They had 74 points in the paint against Utah last night. I think the key to getting all the way there, Ramona just mentioned him, and not to be unfair to him, is Lonzo Ball, who's playing a lot better. He's almost at 40% three-point shooting. But when you look at point guards in the West, and really the guys who run their teams, we're talking LeBron, Luka, Steph Curry, Dame Lillard. I mean, we're talking about the best players in the league. That is a high level to get to, and he's not there yet.
Emily Kaplan, what are you seeing from the Pelicans and Zion Williamson?
I'll treat this question existentially. I think they're almost there because they know what their identity is. So many teams in the NBA this season are just trying to shoot as many threes as possible. And heck, the Pelicans are not that. They only attempted 11 threes yesterday, which is the fewest amount by a winning team in 4 years in the NBA. Their identity is totally built around attacking the rim, and they're damn good at it. In their last 8 games, they've scored 70 points in the paint 3 different times. So while, you can be enlightened because you know what your identity is, you're not quite there yet because they don't have the complete package. They're still a little bit feeble defensively. They're allowing way too many threes themselves. So they're close. They're just not there yet.
Existential. Emily Kaplan, thank you very much. And Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Enlightened.
Well, where is there? I'm not really sure. I think that Zion may be more comfortable with the way he's playing, but where are they going? They have the 29th worst defense in the league when you talk about defensive rating. You talk about the threes, Emily. Yeah, that stat's very interesting, and that's what makes Zion kind of strange because he's a two-point scorer in a three-point shooting league now, and you do need to do that. Not that that should be his forte, but that's got to be somebody's forte. They're still under 500. They've won, 4 of their last 10 games, but I will give him kudos for being more comfortable with what he's doing and what the team is doing.
Oh, okay. So he's got the very rare Blackstone kudos. So I've got kudos from Blackstone. I've got Sarcher over here as well in Plasma 3. Let me ask you this, Ramona. All right. Being the bull in a china closet, or what Scott Fowler called it, a china in a bull closet, which I always preferred, does that still work? Can it still work in a league that is so three-driven?
It can, but what it means is there's going to be 3 guys waiting for him next time. Okay, I saw about 5 business decisions, okay, but there was 1 guy. So now you put 3 guys there, and then it forces him to make a decision. Do I want to take on 3 guys? He might be able to. Mm-hmm. He's strong enough. He's good enough. The question is, are they going to give him those foul shots? Are they going to give him those calls? And if If not, then that strategy might work.
Kalashaw.
If he doesn't have any space.
I do think he has to develop the shot a little the same way we watch Giannis. Nobody goes to the basket more difficult to stop than he is.
Yep.
And yet you get to the playoffs and he's got to start shooting threes because they build that wall. They'll do that for Zion when that day comes.
And does Camus have anything to add here? Dialogical existentialism? What do you got, Emily Cal? This is scraping the bottom of the barrel. This was junior year at CBA for me. I don't remember much.
Nope, that's all.
All right, good. There we go. We'll move on. Nets 124, Spurs 113. Harden 30, 15, and 14. Another monstrous game for him. Another win for the Nets. Another game without Durant. Tim Kalashaw, before we sat down, you said, this is James Harden's team. All right? I'm looking for some elaboration here. Go ahead.
The elaboration is this. When you're playing for a coach named Steve Nash, and when you lead the NBA in assists, the ball is in your hands and you're directing how things go. That doesn't mean in whenever the playoffs are, May, June, and Kevin Durant is there, Kevin Durant isn't as important or more important. It'll probably go back and forth. But I look at it the same way the early years, first year or two of the Heat's big three. I really think that was Dwayne Wade's team. LeBron was the best player, and it took them a while to figure out all the roles. But the guy who had Dwayne Wade at that time still had the ball a lot more than LeBron did. He became more of a point guard in his later years. And I think when that's the case with Harden, it's his team to direct, good or bad.
Nets are Harden's team. Looks like Blackstone's in existential crisis right now. Go ahead, KB.
Well, I don't know if they're his team. I mean, Houston was his team, and where did he drive that particular team? Nowhere. So then he decided to get in another car. He's standing on the side of the road. He sees Kevin Durant going down. He says, hey, can I get in? So he hops in. So now he's riding with Kevin Durant. This is Kevin Durant's team. Kevin Durant restored the rings to Golden State. He's been brought to Brooklyn to bring a ring there, and Harden was looking for a place where he could win a ring. And so this is going to be KD's team when he comes back. Sure, they're on a great run right now. Sure, he's driving the car. He's distributing the ball. He's doing fantastic thing. Kyrie Irving is happy with him. Everybody's happy with him. But this is Kevin Durant's team.
Ramona Shelburne?
It's going to be a fascinating fit and adjustment when Kevin Durant comes back, because Kevin went through this with Steph Curry and Golden State. The first couple months that they were together, they kind of were too polite. They were too nice to each other. It was like, I go, no, you go. And nobody wanted to step on each other's toes. That's going to happen here when Durant comes back. And it's going to be different because Steph isn't a guy who needs the ball in his hands all the time. If you watch the Warriors play, it's actually Draymond Green who sets up their offense. Steph's kind of more of a guy who hangs out on the perimeter. And yeah, of course he has it, but it doesn't flow through him the way it would flow through James. What they look like right now is the Houston Rockets with a better cast around them. They look like James Harden at his peak Houston form with Kyrie Irving and some other better players around him. But when Kevin comes back, that is going to be the fundamental challenge of this team. But hey, that's a really good challenge to have. They have a lot of talent. I'm a believer, and I'm enjoying watching every night to see James Harden play, because he's a guy we talk a lot of smack about on these shows, and on people on social media hit him hard, but he is playing with so much joy right now. It's a pleasure to watch.
Emily Kaplan.
I think there's always going to be some people who view this as James Harden's team because the stakes are different for him, right? Like, he willed himself onto this team. He's 31 and hasn't won a championship. KD's won two, Kyrie's won one. But it's not like he showed up and then all of a sudden carried the load for this team. The story of their success so far is that when at least two of the big three are playing, this team is 15-5 and averaging 124 points a game. Honestly, it's not even a bad thing that it's not his team, because as Kevin Blackstone said, sorry, I want to call you KD because I loved your car analogy so much. But as you said, when he was in Houston, like, he wasn't, it was his team, but he wasn't meshing well with Westbrook, and he wasn't meshing well with Chris Paul. And when it was his team, he didn't win a championship.
Yeah. All right, Kalashaw, I don't think anyone was exactly jumping on board with you, but no deduction as of this moment. Everybody was still
you
in
ride
your
with
place.
Me? Come on.
We'll move on.
I care whether they jump
Save
on or not.
KB's car.
One more story. KB's the Atlanta car. Hawks are no longer Lloyd Pierce's team. Fired yesterday. Doc Rivers, observing this from the outside, of course, made a statement that this is the way the rebuild goes. You get fired halfway through. Momo, how do you view this firing?
Well, you know what? This was talked about over the summer. I think there was some speculation that his seat was already warm coming into the season. They spent a lot of money in free agency with Gallinari and Bogdanovich. It just hasn't worked out. They were supposed to be this breakthrough team last year. They were supposed to be a breakthrough team this year. And sometimes you pay the price for that as the coach first. But generally speaking, the coach is the first one to pay the price. And then the front office is the next one. And I think that that's why you make this decision now. Nate McMillan's a great coach. He's going to do a good job. And I like the fact that he wanted to make it kosher before he took over. He wanted Lloyd Pierce's blessing before he took over because it shows how much respect he had for
Emily Kaplan.
I just saw this move and I thought, Fall Guy. Is Lloyd Pierce the guy that made these free agent signings and the roster construction? Is he the reason that four of their biggest free agents and their top draft pick have missed double-digit games this year due to injury? I think one of the reasons that the coaching community took such umbrage to this is because Lloyd is such an inspiring guy. He did so much for Black Lives Matter and voter suppression in Georgia. But they also took umbrage because here's another example of a young black coach not getting the same leeway as a young white coach or even an old white coach.
KB, can I bring you in here? What do you think of that?
You know, what Emily said is absolutely true, and you know that that's the sentiment around the league, particularly with other black coaches. But, you know, Lloyd Pierce did get an opportunity here with 3 years into a four-year deal. And, you know, we talk about this being a star-driven league. Well, it really is, and he's got a superstar down there in Trae Young. They have been clashing for quite some time now. That's been no secret in Atlanta. It's been out in some stories since then. And you got to think that the brass down in Atlanta is more concerned about keeping Trae Young happy and having him take that team where it can be than having Lloyd Pierce necessarily driving that particular car.
And Tim Kalishaw.
I think you just got to look at some of the numbers that Trae Young and Collins and Capella are putting up. The win total should be better. This team is losing leads in the fourth quarter. I think Nate McMillan, with all the experience he's coached all these years with three different franchises, that's a lot of assurance for a young team. That's kind of a steady hand for them that maybe they need to get up to the playoffs.
Shelburne 21, Blackstone Kaplan 20, Kalishaw 18. Kevin, question for you. Are you in the market for a new car? I mean, it seems like it's really on your mind right now. You still driving that Fly Mini Cooper that I remember?
You know about it.
Oh, yeah. I always loved you.
That's good luck for you. I like it.
Buy or sell in 2 minutes.
Six on the floor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
This video of this snowboarder here. Can you recognize who it is? The way he's slashing back and forth.
Nice.
That's Alvin Kamara. He posted this video. He looked all right, then he fell down, as one does when they're snowboarding. He was okay, but many noticed he wasn't wearing a helmet. Ramona, how do you think the Saints saw this?
Oh my gosh, didn't they just pay him $75 million this September? Just give him an extension. Like, I know I look like I should be sitting in a coffee shop drinking some espresso at the, you know, City Lights bookshop or something, but I'm gonna mom this answer up here. I'm scared for you. Put your helmet on, honey. Like that, I know you get hit by linebackers all the time, and you dealt with like big, scary defensive linemen, but put a helmet on. Too many people get hurt, and there's probably something in that contract that he signed that he's not supposed to be doing.
Tim Kalisha?
I'm going to say that running into Levante David is worse than running over that bump that put him on the ground. It's a nice, soft, powdery snow. He's not going very fast. I'm not going to get overly worried about what Kamara's doing up in Montreal.
Emily Kaplan?
He had so much open snow there. It looked like he was playing the Falcons. Look, I think Alvin knows what you think of this. He tweeted yesterday. if you make a football or Saints comment, I'm going to block you. And I'd block you, too. This is a 25-year-old having the time of his life. There's no room for judgment. I'm sure the Saints would have preferred Drew Brees in a snowboard video and Alvin pushing us some sled in this driveway. But it is what it is.
Listen to Kaplan today. She's got takes. And Kevin Black.
Dang.
Do not take away the man's fun. Come on, it's the off season. You want to go skiing, you want to go snowboarding, go ahead. I would suggest you wear a helmet, but he doesn't have to. He's got those wonderful locks on his head. I'm sure that would be a nice little cushion.
All right, well, no, we do not, we're not, for anyone at home, you know, the young viewers, wear a helmet, okay? It's fine, I don't care.
Wear
your hair is not going to protect
Dad.
You from
Thank
that.
Thank you, Dad.
You've all covered athletes before who have clauses in contracts that prevent them from playing what?
Yes.
You know, volleyball during the offseason?
But he doesn't have a snowboarding clause.
Well, none of you snowboard, so you don't really know the inherent risk or the inherent fun in all of it. We're going to move on. Buy or sell to the Miami Dolphins. All right. And what's been characterized as a cap-saving move reportedly will release starting linebacker and captain Kyle Van Noy if they cannot trade him this offseason. They signed him just last year to a $51 million deal. Again, he was the captain. Some are connecting dots here that this could lead to an offseason move, maybe acquiring a quarterback, Deshaun Watson, in the offseason. Tim Kalisha, what are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm selling this. The Dolphins got to 10-6 and right on the brink of the playoffs with a good defense that Brian Flores was building. And now you're saving $10 million and getting rid of a player you've got to replace. If this turns into Watson, one would hope I'll be on a show shortly after, and maybe I'll take back some of these words. But right now, no. I'm selling this. This is not the way to go.
Emily Kaplan.
We've officially entered the second phase of the offseason. First half was quarterback empowerment. Second half is all going to be about the cap casualties. This is going to happen everywhere. And, hey, if the Dolphins can convert that salary and get an offensive playmaker, I think it's worth it.
Kevin Blackstone.
It makes no sense on the face of it. I mean, they signed this guy to be the cornerstone of their defense, which he was, performed admirably at that. And then a year later, you turn around to save $10 million in cap space to maybe get a quarterback. That's not nearly enough.
They do have a quarterback at this moment. It is Tua. Exactly. They've invested in Tua. But connecting dots here, well, if we're letting go a captain and saving money, are we trying to get Deshaun Watson? Ramona, how do you read it?
They better be. I mean, look, this guy signed a big contract and delivered on it. They had the sixth-ranked defense in the league last year. He was sixth. He was tied for sixth among non-defensive linemen in quarterback pressures last year. He delivered. He did his job. Okay, so if they're gonna release him, if they're gonna not make good on that contract they signed with him, they better go out and use that money for something else. Otherwise, I'm like him when he put out a statement. I'm disappointed because I thought I connected with this team.
Buy or sell three, Illinois, Michigan tonight. Michigan can clinch the Big Ten with a win. First meeting between these two, COVID canceled. So this is our first look between the number two and number four team in the country. Kevin, what do you buy in this one?
Well, I'm going to buy that if Ayo Dosunmu doesn't play right there for Illinois, one of my favorite players, that Illinois is going to be up against it once again going against Michigan. And please leave Michigan alone. I know they haven't played 20 games, but they've only lost one all season. What more do they have to prove?
Shelburne.
Well, look, both these teams are right now in Joe Lunardi's rankings. They're going to be one seeds or two seeds. So I think if Illinois can improve with this, if they win without Ayo, then I think they actually can vault into contention for a one seed. But for Michigan, Juwan Howard has never beaten Illinois yet. So this is a big spot for them.
Well, he's beaten them quite a bit when he was a player. And last year he didn't beat them as a coach. Kalisha, how about you?
Michigan just passed Baylor to number two in the rankings. I don't know if they're really better than Baylor. I know why they passed them. Baylor missed three weeks and then lost to Kansas. Tonight's a good chance to prove if they're really better than Baylor by beating
and
Illinois.
Emily Kaplan.
I think this is all about Illinois. All Brad Underwood has been doing is yapping about Michigan and who they played and who they didn't play and what their COVID pause was like. Okay, if you have your best player back, go beat them on their court, make the statement on the court and not in the press conferences.
Isn't it funny how the Big Ten football season was like, we had all these rules, and this is what we're going to do when we get to a championship game, and we're going to then change the rules midway through. And Big Ten basketball is like, the tournament? Who knows what the seeding is going to be? We'll just ride it out for a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Kind of the way you officiate around the horn, Tom. Come on.
Now that you mention it, I do resemble that remark. Kalis Shaw. Should these showdowns not work for me, I do have the opportunity to bring you back after this. In the meantime, Ramona Shelford, Kevin Black is throwing a two-minute showdown.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I say this respectfully, but that's a matchup that I've dominated, my whole since I got to the league.
Joel Embiid, 24-13-5 last night. Miles Turner, 11-3-0. Ramona, I say this respectfully. Is it okay for Embiid to say it respectfully after he did it on the court?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the definition of saying something respectfully, right? I mean, the truth is, he has dominated Miles Turner among all the players who faced Miles Turner 100 times. Joel Embiid has the highest scoring average per 100 possessions. He's right.
It's a good start.
Hey, as we say in journalism, truth is your best defense. And he told the absolute truth. It's not even close. And not only that, he said in a very nice way. I mean, he wasn't.
Oh, you believe that? When he said, with all due respect, you believe that?
Absolutely. All due respect.
A point for the truth. I'm not sure I'm buying the respect. We'll move on. Ice dunk. This is showdown two. I want you to grade the ice dunk with the distance, speed, and execution. Kevin Blackstone, go ahead.
Whoa, that is really cool. Man, look at the height that he gets and the landing he's going to stick. I think he stuck it. We don't know what happened on the other end, but I'd like to see a lot more of that. Is it too late to get it in the Winter Games?
Ramona?
I mean, I see two things. That is a thrunk. That is not a dunk. That is more of a throw and a dunk. And it's really cool. Oh. But I see the most important thing, he's wearing a helmet. See that, Alvin Kamara? He's wearing a helmet.
The man just came down Mount Everest and dunked a basketball on skates.
30 seconds of FaceTime, Ramona Shelburne.
Hey, so Clarissa Shields is going to be fighting in the first pay-per-view fight for the first woman to headline a pay-per-view fight since 2001 when Leila Ali did it, and she's doing it on her own. She was frustrated with her broadcast partner in Showtime. They weren't getting it done. She's like, you know, they always say the women are important to us, but the men get scheduled first. So she says, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to schedule my own pay-per-view. Good for you, Clarissa, betting on yourself. And later this year, she's going to fight in MMA. She wants to fight 5 times this year between the two sports. She's already a champ, but let's see if she can break some new ground headlining her own pay-per-view.
Good story. Self-determination. So what you're saying is the individual gets to discover the meaning of life through personal experiences in this earthly world. It's almost existential when you think of it like this. What a profound battle today.
We'll see you tomorrow.